You know, each week here in the EdTech Club, I try to give you a framework before we invite in our guest speaker, something to think about, something to chew on as we go into the discussion of whatever topic we're on each week. The thing about this week, though, is the framework I would give you for our topic of social and emotional learning, well, it'd probably be something about how this is a very weird school year. Things are very different for a lot of educators, students, their families, administrators, well, everybody. And that causes a lot of uncertainty that can change the way we feel on any given day or any given week, and it can change the way we interact with others all the time. Well, that framework has kind of been done. You know, I think we've talked a lot about how education is changing and how this school year just now beginning presents a lot of challenges. So it felt repetitive to start that way, but that's really where we have to start with this new school year. We're bringing back Diana Binner, our Director of Professional Learning here at TCEA. She's been helping develop TCEA's new Social and Emotional Learning course. We can get to that later. But in the process, she's shined some light on misconceptions she had going into this about social and emotional learning, and she's helped identify some best practices, all of which she's shared on our TechNotes blog. So this week, we face the challenges of a weird school year again. And this week, Diana's going to take us through the best ways to help nurture social and emotional learning during remote learning. And that all starts right now. Hey everyone, welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. This week, the big topic, social and emotional learning, and ways we can integrate social and emotional learning into remote teaching. So without further ado, here's Director of Professional Development here at TCEA, Diana Binner. You went into this helping design TCEA's social emotional learning course. And going into that, you kind of learned some lessons quickly that ended up being a blog post we have on TechNotes about the misconceptions you had when you started working on this. Can you tell us a little bit about social emotional learning and what those conceptions you had were and how they changed?
Sure. When I first started developing this online course, of course, I did a lot of research about social and emotional learning. And going into it, one of the misconceptions that I had is I thought social and emotional learning was only about feelings and emotions. And I soon learned that I was very, very wrong about this. The social and emotional learning, it encompasses so many more skills than just, you know, dealing with your feelings and emotions. One of the things that I researched was the CASEL framework, and that really helps you go into and look at some of the different skills that students can get and benefit from when it comes to social and emotional learning. Some of the skills that social and emotional learning can help students achieve is showing empathy for others. It helps them maintain positive relationships. It also helps them with making responsible decisions, as well as setting and achieving their goals. So there's a lot of skills there, aside from just dealing with your emotions and your feelings, that can help our students, not only right now in school, but later on in life and when they go into the workforce.
I guess I want to dig in a little bit more on this, not just about feelings. I mean, was there something that really surprised you as you started to think about this? Was there a moment where you were like, oh, I see how this goes a level beyond just feelings and emotions and how it has a larger impact?
Well, I know that I was just, like I said, completely surprised at all of the different skills that students can gain. Just going into it thinking that social and emotional learning was just about learning how to behave. I didn't think about, the responsible decision making, how to build relationships, how to have positive relationships with others, how to be more self-aware and, manage myself a little bit better. Just so many different skills. And that is what probably the one thing that, really surprised me about social and emotional learning.
That kind of leads into the other misconceptions you talk about in the blog post. One, that these kind of social emotional skills don't need to be taught, when in fact, you do need to actually teach and practice these skills. And that, as you kind of pointed to, this kind of teaching then is not just to change or improve behavior of a student, but more broadly to improve their ability to behave in society, if you will.
Right, because I always thought that these skills, the social and emotional learning skills, were something that we were born with. And that isn't the case. I mean, they need to be taught in school, and it's not just a one-time lesson. I'm going to teach you about a responsible decision-making and then let it go and then move on to something else. These are skills that need to be practiced regularly in the classroom in order for the students to kind of perfect these skills in their life. So it is something that does need to be taught. There's lots of separate activities that can be done in the classroom. And then there are more, there are also activities that can just be incorporated all throughout the curriculum.
And that leads us into some of the best practices you discovered as you were doing this research into SEL. So let's jump into that. The first thing you suggest for educators who want to incorporate SEL and want to incorporate it, especially when they're teaching remotely, is to just have the discussion, right? That's the first step. What do you mean by this? What do you mean by having discussions with your students?
Well, just having those discussions, those conversations, and asking students, how are you feeling today? Or what are you excited about? Are you maybe concerned about anything? And encouraging your students to share out through those discussions. I think it's very important. Our students want to know that we care about them. So, and it also helps with that student-teacher relationship and build that foundation so that the students can have trust and in their teachers as well. So just having those conversations and asking them how they're doing. Another way you can do this is to have conversations. You could set up different scenarios and either in pairs or as a whole class, have a discussion with the student about the different roles or the different personas and how would this person feel given a certain scenario or a certain thing that they did. But the main thing is just to have those conversations. A lot of times students may not open up and they may not want to talk about their feelings. So using the scenarios may help them with that.
And so as they get into these conversations, one of the next things you suggest is giving them a little bit of vocabulary to use in these discussions. So you mentioned it might be hard to get the ball rolling on talking about how you're feeling or this or that. There's a lot of things you have to explain, we need to talk about how you're feeling. That's why when people say, how are you? You just say fine. And so what are we thinking about when we say we want to give students some vocabulary, a glossary of terms to express themselves in these discussions? What are we talking about?
Well, the vocabulary is basically going to be the common denominator. So as we know, vocabulary is important in every subject area. And it's important that students understand what words mean and so that they can use them correctly. When I think about social and emotional learning, a student may perceive that a person is mad at them when the person might just be disappointed in them. And so there's a difference, as you know, between mad and disappointed. So knowing the definitions and getting those terms correct when you're using them is very important, especially when you're describing your feelings and your emotions.
Yeah, I think kind of being able to dig in, knowing that maybe having the awareness of knowing that you're upset is one thing, but knowing how to convey that to another person with enough specificity that they, you know, can feel helpful or useful or not adding to a problem is an important step. The next steps we think about, you talk about incorporating writing activities. You suggest maybe a poem or some other creative way to lend some expression to that. Again, this goes with the idea that maybe it's not always easy to figure out how to express what we're feeling, much less why we're feeling it. What do these activities do to help that along, and what kind of activities are you suggesting?
Right. Well, some students, like I mentioned earlier, they may not feel comfortable talking about their emotions. So another way to another activity that could be incorporated is allowing students to write, whether they're writing a story or they're writing a poem. They can write about how they are feeling. They could be individual writings. They could work in collaborative groups. I know a lot of teachers use writing prompts that they give to students, and they put them in their journals, their writing journals. There's lots of writing prompts out there that could be incorporated. But again, it goes into, you know, have your students maybe write about how their day was. How are they feeling about not being in school face to face? So just anything that's going to help them express themselves. And again, it can be done through writing as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a writer by trade, so I think it would be easy for me to jump on that activity. I could say, oh, that's an easy, I can do that. For students who might not feel as comfortable using writing to express these things, what other suggestions do we have?
Another suggestion that I incorporated into the blog is playing games. So there's lots of games out there that can be used to reinforce or practice SEL skills, which is, of course, social and emotional learning. And there's things like kindness bingo. You could do an emotion scavenger hunt. And one that I mentioned is a free web-based game that's called Quandary. And what Quandary does is it actually uses stories. They're kind of like comic strips, but they're storylines, and it's a game. It has different illustrations and characters, but it provides a framework for how students would approach ethical decision-making. So it gives them different players to think about, different characters, and it asks them to consider facts and opinions before asking them to make ethical decisions. And Quandary also comes with it lots of teacher resources. There's curriculum guides that you can download. So lots of great stuff with that particular game.
Yeah, it's I'm looking at it now. It's kind of it's set as if you're helping lead some kind of space colony, and you have to sort of understand all the different viewpoints of everyone involved so you can begin to set up a new kind of society even, which sounds like a mind-bending premise for most people, but for students, you can kind of dig in and go a step at a time and start to learn how to identify people's interests and needs. And of course, they have a lot, as you mentioned, a lot of resources to kind of back this up and give you frameworks and help you understand the research behind why this works as well.
They do. And it is it's a great site.
So we've got games, we've got writing prompts and different writing activities that can be as creative as we want to make them, or we can fit it into whatever framework we're using. Another thing you suggest that lets them creatively express themselves is drawing. And there's about a million ways to draw these days, right?
There are. So for students who may be more artistic, they may want to draw. And so incorporating drawing activities so that students can visually express themselves. They could draw pictures of things that make them happy or things that make them sad. They could draw a self-portrait to work on more of their self-awareness. And there's lots and lots of drawing tools like Google Drawing that can be used so that students can create their drawing on the computer.
So we have a lot of different ways to engage students, and we can give them choice, you know, on how they want to do that. If you had to help an educator kind of figure out, you know, what their learning goal might be in terms of presenting a lesson or lessons on social emotional learning, what are the outcomes we want to see from students?
Well, the outcomes that we want to see is that students are able to the first step in the whole social and emotional learning process is to become more self-aware. And so that's what we really dig into in the social and emotional online course. And that's one of the first components that we look at is how can students become more self-aware? Because a lot of the other components of social and emotional learning rely on that one skill. And so becoming more self-aware is basically knowing who you are, how do you deal with certain situations, and just knowing yourself. So I would tell an educator that I would suggest that they start with some self-awareness activities with their students.
For educators as well, they kind of have to do this work also, and they have to model this behavior for students as well, right?
Exactly. So self-awareness, educators are going to need to be self-aware before they can teach their students to become self-aware. So we also go into that in the social and emotional online course. We talk a lot about how you can gain your own self-awareness first before you actually teach it to your students. And we do that as well as with the other components of social and emotional learning. Teachers know, it's all about relationships and building those relationships with students and having our students know that they can trust us. And so I think that is going to be goes hand in hand with the entire learning environment. But having that trust established first is really going to help in the long run. And incorporating some of those social and emotional learning skills is going to help build that trust.
Okay, folks, we've run down the clock on this week's meeting of the EdTech Club, but before I digitally dismiss you, you do have some homework. It is the related readings, the two blog posts on SEL that Diana's contributed to our Tech Notes blog, and you can find it in the show notes, the description to this episode. And if you're one of those go-getters trying to snatch some extra credit at the beginning of the semester, well, I won't hold you back. Go ahead and send your thoughts and ideas to podcast@tcea.org. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show. And stay up to date by following TCEA on all your favorite social media applications. Plus, if this discussion really got you excited and you want to learn more, you want to develop your skills at integrating SEL into your everyday teaching, whether that's remote, in-person, hybrid, today or tomorrow, well, consider checking out TCEA's new social and emotional learning course. Educators can get 12 hours of CPE credit. It's 7 modules or self-paced to let you really dig into these topics, and it's only $29. So, if you're interested, check it out at tcea.org/courses. And that's it. I've got nothing else for you. The bell is about to ring and I will let you go. But I hope you'll be back for the next meeting of the EdTech Club. Until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.